Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Rich Eisen on the show. We also have Portnoy's complaint. Mr. Portnoy has an issue with his HP. We have Week 10 preview, Masters going on, a pack show.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to the ASPCA. Today is Friday, November 13th. Friday the 13th.
Spooky season's got over.
I got a little joke for you, PFT. Friday the 13th, more like 2020.
That's good. That's a good
the whole year. I saw someone do that. That was so lame. I wanted to thumbs down their fucking tweet.
You should. Yeah, there should be a button to disrespect a tweet as well.
Yes. So
what about what if Friday the 13th was on a Halloween? That'd be trippy, huh?
That would be trippy. Not possible, but very trippy. Maybe Blake Bortles would think that.
Billy's doing the math right now. Billy just looked up and to the left.
Okay, so we just watched Thursday Night Football. We have about 5 minute recap, and then we're back in the studio. We got Rich Eisen on the show. We got Mr. Portnoy. We have a tribute to Leroy the King at the end of the show. But first, we have to talk about the Tennessee Titans being frauds and having the worst special teams of all time.
Fraudulent football team. Well, it's interesting because Vrabel has clearly designed this team to be like a close game type of team, right? He's designed it to be, and they've done a really good job actually of winning one score games up until this point. But if you don't have a kicker and your punter is a FedEx delivery guy, that's a problem. And I do want to point out though, that their original punter, Kern, their starting punter, he's out because he has a broken wrist. And I think that if you're a punter with a broken wrist, I don't want to be the hard-o football guy, but I'm going to be the hard-o football guy. You should be able to punt with a broken wrist. If you're a punter, that's the one thing in your life that you should be able to still do with a broken wrist. I get that you need to jack off a lot because you're a special teams guy. That would be an issue. But as far as like being on the football field, you should be able to punt with a broken wrist.
Yeah, tape that up. So, the game totally turned on the shanked punt and then the blocked punt and then Steven Gostkowski being an absolute enigma. If he's kicking a ball over 50 yards, it will be dead center, perfect. And then anything in from there, it is like a 50-50 proposition at this point. And on top of all that, we had the very special secret weapon, Jacoby Brissett, the long yard, short yard guy.
He comes in for
Hail Marys and QB sneaks. I love that Phil Rivers is at this point of his career that he can't throw it deep and he also can't take the physical contact of a QB sneak up the middle on a short yard situation. It's beautiful.
It's been like that for 7 years. He's attempted one QB sneak in the last 7 years. He just doesn't do it for whatever.
He doesn't do it.
He hates contact. He hates hitting that a-hole.
Yeah, so I honestly don't think people always tweet me and say something nice about my team, and I said the Colts are good, not great, and I think the Titans are exactly what we thought. They have players, but they're fraudulent. Like, their defense is fraudulent, and Phil Rivers was able to just be back there all night. He had 300-plus yards. Phil Rivers is not in a point in his career where he should be like that comfortable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's not someone hard to figure out, but the Titans defense makes everyone look a little bit better. And the Titans offense, I still don't understand what you're doing when you get to short yard situation. Like they were, you know, the game was kind of over. I think they were down, maybe it was, they were down 17 and they were at like second and three or third and three. And they threw the ball three times in a row. Mm-hmm. It's like, you have Derrick Henry. You might as well use him in this situation.
Yeah.
So the Titans are nice team, fine, but they're just not, they're not built for anything big.
They're a nice
team. I think we can all agree on that.
They're
a nice team.
That's exactly who they are. And you're right about Phillip Rivers. What you can say about him, though, is he's not going to drift. So the offensive linemen know exactly where he's going to be.
That's true.
If they're blocking for him, he's not going to drift. And you make Jadeveon Clowney look good on a couple flash plays because you do the one thing that he can really like accelerate out of the backfield. He can excel at not being blocked and then sprinting and tackling a running back for a loss of 3 yards. That's where Jadeveon Clowney will always, he could play until he's 40 and get one of those tackles a game. But like the entire defensive line isn't getting any pressure whatsoever. And I want to give credit, a lot of credit, to our own Billy Football for initiating the take that Derrick Henry is not a good short yardage back. Now, he did have over 100 yards. And he did
well. He's amazing in open space.
Yeah. He doesn't like getting the ball up the middle. I don't want to say this.
No, it's the toss. Like, that's why they're doing those tosses to him.
Does Derrick Henry run scared?
No, it's just legitimately he's not built to run between the guards. Like off tackle, yes, but between the guards, he's not a stout guy. He's not a fullback. He's not a Marshawn Lynch who can go between the guards and get yardage.
I just like using the phrase "run scared."
Billy, then
I don't think he's scared. He's just not built for it.
You are a football expert. Break it down. Why is that?
He has a certain sort of, he's built like a horse, not an ox.
Okay.
Yeah,
there we go.
It
goes back
long
to animals.
Legs, speed.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a diesel engine. He has more of a sports
he's
car.
He's got too much legs. He's all gams and no hams, you know?
Billy. Stride length, not you know, short, strong steps.
Billy, you need to start doing weekly breakdowns, like the Baldy breakdowns, with a pen or Jeff Schwartz spoon. And every single time you break down a player, it just always goes back to animal analogies. I would watch that every single week. I would love to watch. I'll buy you the All 22 access just to see Billy Football's animal breakdowns of the week.
I mean, I could throw one here and there.
You know what would be great is if instead of using a pen or a spoon, just use your feet. Just have like your toes pointing in front of the screen.
And we'll put it on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Billy Feetball. Yeah.
Perfect.
Double dip.
Anything else? I mean, this is kind of a unremarkable Thursday night game because it was weird. I mean, the even at halftime when the Titans were up, you're like, the Colts, it feels like they're going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And they just totally, I mean, they even had that fourth down stop. The Titans had that fourth down stop where the Colts didn't score, which I love that, by the way. I think most football coaches are starting to do this. But if you're on goal line and you go for it on fourth down, if you have a decent defense, like you're going to have what happened where they have to punt from their own end zone and you get the ball right back. It's mm-hmm. worth the risk.
I have one last thing. It's kind of a little nugget. You call it a nugget in the biz. The offensive coordinator from the Titans is the owner of FedEx. His dad owns FedEx, and he therefore is also the employee of their new punter who sucks at punting. So I thought that was a...
Nah, well, you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, there you go, Jake. Fire him both ways.
Fire him
both. I had that ready, two PFTs.
I scooped you. I scooped you on the nugget.
Yeah.
Hey, I call him Tom Shanks because he's another former FedEx employee that misconnected with a Wilson.
There we go. All right. Let's get to the weekend preview. And then we have, like I said, Fantasy Fuckboys, Rich Eisen, Mr. Portnoy, Pack Show. But let's get through Masters Talk and Weekend Preview right after this.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
All right, weekend preview time. Masters and NFL Week 10. Also college football slate, which we had that, remember that moment in when they started to like put together the entire schedule in August, and we're like, there's going to be a weekend where we have Week 10, LSU, Alabama,
yeah,
and the Masters. Unfortunately, we found out what we all always knew: when kids are on a college campus and there's a pandemic, there'll probably be people getting
fucking
the coco.
They'll be fucking.
So we have some games canceled in college. Still a decent slate. Not a great one, but whatever. Football's being played. But we have Masters and Week 10. Let's talk a little Masters first.
Let's okay? do it.
So Tiger doing well. We're rooting for Brooks. The greens are soft. Vern is back.
They're very soft greens. These are remarkably soft. They look like they're hitting shots into a memory foam mattress.
Yes.
They're just like hitting and kind of sinking a little bit, maybe rolling an inch or two.
They're sticking them.
You know what? This course is, it's wide open.
It is wide open. Anyone can win. One of my favorite things about golf, too, is when there's weather involved and people will say, you know, if the weather dies down, it might be the lowest score ever in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the game we play, folks.
That's golf,
you
baby.
Could golf at 10 a.m. It could be hard. You could golf at 3 p.m. It's easy
yeah,
now.
The course wakes up a little bit in the afternoon.
Yep.
The course is like the Seattle Seahawks. It's tough in the morning. The clocks are all messed up internally. But, yeah, the course is looking wide open. You know what? This course right now, it favors the best strikers of the ball,
mm-hmm.
of which Brooks Koepka is one of those.
Well, it's a second shot course.
Yeah.
I read that.
Yeah, that's the striking of the ball.
Yeah, second shot course, so everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about how long you drive it. It's about the second shot.
It's not how long your driver is. 48 inches, by the way, if you haven't heard,
mm-hmm.
Bryson hitting.
He's not overcompensating for anything.
It's got the extra 4 inches to keep him slightly farther away from any fire ants that he encounters.
Yes. So, we're going to be – we'll recap Masters, obviously, on Monday's show, but it's going to be great. It's great too because we're going to have it in the morning on Sunday. My dumb brain didn't even realize, because the clocks changed a month ago, that they will have to start the Masters earlier on Sunday, and it's going to end around what, like 4:30?
Yeah.
So it will be perfect. And then we have six games late.
Uh-huh.
Six games late. Hank, do you want to have that debate? By the way, we've done this before, but
we can. I got one take that I've kind of been sitting on here. I wanted to see the course in real life, see how it looked on TV before I uncorked this one. I think that the Masters looks better in November.
Mm.
I think that it's better as a November tournament than it is an April one.
Well, they spray painted it.
Yeah, they spray painted it really nicely. I don't know if I mean that take yet, but I know that somebody out there is going to have that take. So I wanted to be first to market on it.
Prisoners of the moment.
I think that it gives the conifer trees, the pine trees, more of a shine that often gets overlooked when everyone's talking about the azaleas and all these other things that are just really polluting the air with pollen. So it's nice to see the year-round trees, as well as a couple deciduous trees that are losing their leaves, turning orange, gives
Cotton
you a nice sense of fall. So I just want to get out in front of that take and just let the record show. I am the first to say that the Masters looks better in November.
Looks better in November. Hank.
We don't have to it's not a debate, since we know we're a positive vibes only podcast.
We
now,
are. Apparently. You're going to be a
big
positive
time.
Person
I'll just
now.
Present it in a way that, you know, you can think positively on it. Maybe in a bubble, if there's only NFL football, like having six games late, was it 6-5?
It's five games early, six games late.
Not as ideal, but this Sunday will be a better Sunday because there's six games late because of the Masters. Like, everyone will be focusing on the Masters during the day, and then when it's late, you still have that rush of, like, all of these games going on.
Okay.
So, on this Sunday alone, it will be a better Sunday because there's
games
late.
So, you're giving up
late.
So, I actually don't disagree with that, but are you giving up the idea that six games late in a normal Sunday is ridiculous?
No.
I still think that's better,
but we're a positive vibes only podcast, so we're not going to argue about it.
It's just good to have something a little bit different every now and again.
You know,
like they're throwing a curveball at us. That's fine. Keep me on my toes as a fan, see how I react to it. It's going to be – so when the Masters ends, it's going to be what, like 4 o'clock,
4:15? Yeah,
4:30. Yeah, so
Siciliano will be fucking up something.
Yeah, so then the entire afternoon is going to be like totally wide open. There's not going to be that sense of a taper down.
Yeah, so I'm with it today. I'm with it this Sunday.
And here's another way I would ask it, Big Cat, because it's not that I love having six games late, but here's the question: would you rather have three games or six games? Only one of those two answers.
Late?
Yeah,
probably three.
That's where we disagree.
I have fortunate.
But I've always said that four is the perfect number.
I know that.
So would you rather have 4 or 5?
4.
Okay, so you agree 4 is the perfect number.
But 3 is too little, and I'll take more than I'd rather have more than less.
Yeah, I would rather have 3 and be able to taper off and slow myself down. Because otherwise, it's just too much madness. What are you going to say, Jake?
With our fortunate setup here at the office, Red Zone is not needed this weekend because you have 5 games early, 1 TV for the Masters, yeah, and then 6 games late.
That's great.
Siciliano. Wonderful.
You don't need it.
Fuck yes.
Maybe during the crossover, but
nope.
5 football,
nope.
1 golf, uh-huh. And then 6 football.
It's going to be very interesting to see what Tony Romo, how dialed in he is on his afternoon game.
He's off entirely.
Yeah, because he doesn't.
Tracy and Tony home for the weekend.
He doesn't work with anybody but Jim Nance.
Correct.
Tony Romo became a diva overnight.
Mm-hmm.
He called a couple like jet sweeps correctly, and all of a sudden we think he's Buddha.
Yep.
Does the audio go to Augusta?
$20 million. What?
Does the audio go to Augusta at 1 p.m.?
What do you mean?
Here, for sound.
Oh yeah.
Not at one. Yes. Not at one.
Yeah.
I think maybe 3 o'clock.
No, because we usually have the audio on the Red Zone. So right. There would be no reason not to. So, yeah, the audio will be on Augusta. Yeah.
It'll be an interesting setup.
Absolutely.
We'll see about that. Because
it's distracting to have it on one single game.
Right.
And then having to watch 4 other games. That's, you kind of lose your brain.
I'm glad that Vern's there. We don't actually know if Vern is on location. We think that he is. I wish that he was on the 17th green with a giant headset, just in a lawn chair wearing shorts,
mm-hmm.
just by himself calling whatever he sees in front of him. But he might be remote.
His big round basketball face.
Yeah, Zoom. He might be on Zoom, like from the comfort of his own home. Regardless of where he is, I just hope that Vern's wearing the huge headset with a giant antenna on it somewhere.
Yeah, Vern is like the in 101 Dalmatians when everyone ends up looking like their dog.
Mm-hmm.
He's called sports for so long, he just looks like a ball. He just slowly became a ball.
I have a picture with him from freshman year.
Oh, that's wow. Yeah. That's huge, Jake.
How tall is Vern? Because he could be anywhere between 5'2 and 5'6.
Yeah, he's 4'11.
Yeah.
Love it.
Official.
On his side, he is the exact same height.
Yes. All right. Let's do some NFL Week 10 preview. I'm calling it right now. This is trap week. There's some tricky, weird games, weird lines. Feel like we know some shit, and then we're going to go away from it being like, whoop, we didn't know anything. But let's start with a game we do know quickly. Jaguars versus Packers. This is a slaughter. Hank, you wouldn't even touch the Jaguars money line with my money.
That's not true.
Oh, okay. You would.
You're going to do it?
You're going to
do
it?
You believer in Luton?
The Jaguars have given up over 30 points in 6 of their 8 games. Aaron Rodgers is going to be humping and pumping and smiling and doing his fucking thing.
Uh-huh.
This is a get right Aaron Rodgers game.
Dougie's coaching for his job.
No, he's not.
No, he's kind of, Doug
is coaching with the understanding that he is to lose as many games as nearly as possible. Yeah,
yeah, he knows.
He's getting paid to be a tanker this year.
He's in. What the fuck?
He's
who cares?
Like the producers. I never saw the movie or the play or anything like that, but I'm aware of what the storyline is.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Doug Marrone is doing. He's doing a great job of it.
We also have the Jaguars coming from Florida up to Green Bay. They're a terrible team. Like, they don't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be there. They don't want to do any of this.
Does Jake Luton have any Wisconsin connections? Because his name to me it screams Wisconsin.
Jake Luton. Lutton, Jake Lutton.
Yeah, it, to me it just seems like...
No, he's from Washington.
His family's got a dairy Minnesota. Farm, and his uncle he's overdosed on lager.
Marysville, Washington. Oregon State Beaver. Turnover chain. They have the... what do they have at Oregon State? They have... I think they do have a turnover...
a turnover microbrew.
What?
Chainsaw.
There it is. That's pretty cool.
Yes. There's no chain on it, though. They wanted to make sure everyone knows that.
I don't like that.
Yeah. No one got hurt. Did you see, by the way, the action?
That is the tradition down in Jacksonville where Jack Del Rio brought in a stump and an axe into the locker
yes.
room because he wanted his players to keep chopping wood
yes.
until their punter hit himself in the calf and almost cut his own leg off.
It's beautiful when football guys go too far, yeah. which actually is perfect because the Eastern Michigan, so they call themselves the Factory, and a player has to be holding this like 50-pound wrench at all times on the sideline and can never let it touch the ground.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, imagine if you, like,
it's like the balloon
game when you're
young.
You have to put in, like, the backup in the fourth quarter. He's like, why'd you miss that tackle? Well, I've been holding a 50-pound wrench for 3 quarters, coach.
Uh-huh. I like that a lot, though. That's cool as hell.
Maxion was on one.
Blue collar as shit.
Texans-Browns.
Browns.
Browns.
I don't think that this falls into a trap game. I think this is a Browns get right game.
I have some stats for you. So Nick Chubb might be back.
Yep.
Wyatt Teller might be back. The Browns guard should be back. The Browns in the four games before Wyatt Teller got hurt, 204 yards per game rushing, 8 touchdowns. In the three games since he got hurt, 86 yards per game, 0 touchdowns. That guy's important.
Yeah.
And I always like finding out like one of the linemen is important because you feel like you have an edge that usually doesn't actually matter, but in the back of your head you can tell yourself because especially, most people don't look up like, oh, who's out?
Especially if it's a guard. That's right. One way to tell. Like their inside run game really improves on play action even sometimes. It's better with this guy here because you have to account for him in your defensive scheme. I also like the Browns offensive line coach. I know I've talked about him before, but Callahan, best offensive line coach in the league.
Yes. Tom Cable, fight you. He'll fist fight your ass.
He'll fight you for sure.
Kenny Stills also liked a tweet bashing the Houston Texans organization. Okay. So things are going well.
Yeah.
Things are going well.
And they fired their PR person.
That was the tweet that he liked.
Yeah,
like,
so
being like, this is a joke of an organization.
There was some sort of coordinated media blitz yesterday where every reporter had to tweet out their support of their vice president of PR after she got fired by the Texans. I don't know what... She was probably like just giving him like all the information about what Bill O'Brien was going to do next. But I don't know, like that seems like a very tough job to have, is like to be a public Bill O'Brien defender. You're basically like that dude, remember from the Iraq War, the Baghdad Bob, the guy that was like, everything's fine, our country's good.
Yeah, you're the this is fine dog.
Yeah, exactly.
At all times. That's your job. All right, Washington football team at Detroit. AP revenge game.
AP revenge game, which actually bodes well for the Washington football team because he stinks now.
Yeah, well, and he stinks in revenge games. He's averaging 3 yards a carry in revenge games.
Yeah, and he said that this is going to be a revenge game. He said it out loud. So
he's had a revenge game every year.
Matt Patricia, by the way, I want to give him a little bit of credit on something. It's not so much giving him credit as to being like, hey, man, that sucks. I'm sorry for you. But the fact that you're a rocket scientist in any line of work, it just sucks anytime you make a minor mistake.
Yep.
Because everybody's like, oh, nice job, rocket scientist.
Yeah.
So the moral of that story is
it's not rocket science.
Yeah, don't study jet propulsion.
Actually, having a winning season for the Detroit Lions is way more difficult than rocket science.
Yes, agreed.
That's far, far more difficult
than putting, Caldwell did it.
Yeah, something on the moon.
Yeah.
They should actually change it to that. Like, it's not rocket science. It's not winning with the Lions.
Yes. It is,
that should be the new saying.
Yes, it is way more difficult.
Right, right. All right.
They've never had a Russian that's been able to coach the Giants to over 500.
Eagles, Giants. So this is the sack bowl. Daniel Jones and Carson Wentz, they just love getting sacked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the line would be on that, but they have 60 sacks between them. They love getting sacked.
I think they bring out the most hilarious aspects in each other. When Daniel Jones and Carson Wentz play, I think it's just like somebody's going to trip and fall. Somebody's going to fumble 4 times. Someone's going to get sacked into oblivion and fumble 6. Someone's going to throw 2 interceptions. I don't know. It's always a mess. They see each other and they're like, let's fuck this up.
I don't understand this line. I don't understand why the Giants are 3.5-point underdogs when it feels like the Giants play every game to a point.
Yeah. Just home field worth 3 points.
Well, the Giants are at home.
Yeah. So that they're underdogs.
3.5-point underdogs.
I'm taking the Giants.
Right.
I'm hammering the Giants.
But that's where that's what I was saying. Like the tricky lines.
Yeah.
The trap games. Like the Giants have played. I think they've lost by 1 or 2 points. Like 4 out of the last 5 games. So it makes no sense. We still think the Eagles are going to put it together. Yeah. This is too easy. Just be warned.
I'm starting to buy into the Joe Judge system.
Yeah, how could you not?
I don't know what his system is. Just, like, be a hard ass.
It's play the Washington football team every week.
Yeah, just be cool, play the football team. Play in the worst division in the history of sports, and then just make your star players run laps occasionally.
Always be alive for the playoffs. Bucks-Panthers. So I think the Bucks are going to kill them.
Yep.
Because Tom Brady, after he loses week 1 against the Saints, they then beat the Panthers by 2 touchdowns. He loses week, whatever it was, 5 against the Bears. Then the next week is the 38-10 Packers game. So they lost. They got embarrassed on Sunday Night Football against the Saints, which are we...
I'm calling that game a wake-up call.
Well, funny you say that, wake-up call. Is there a chance that Tom Brady's just too old to play at night?
Like he needs to have a solid 12 hours of sleep now?
Like, I mean,
he probably has dinner at 3 o'clock.
You know, like your dad is like... when your dad sits down to watch Sunday Night Football and he's like, his intention is to watch all of Sunday Night Football, but by the middle of the second quarter, he's dozing off. Well, yeah. And then he'll wake up like in the fourth and be like, yeah, I watched the game.
It's interesting.
That's what he does.
That you say that, because also another telltale sign of dementia is called sundowning, where the closer that it gets to dusk, the lower capacity your brain functions at. So, yes, I do believe that Tom Brady battling through his dementia is better in the 1 o'clock time slot. Although, you know, days are getting shorter.
No, 1 o'clock's good for
Carolina is not far enough south or not far enough north to have the sun really affect him in this situation. But I agree with you. I think that it's also a case of everybody is going to think, based on the last primetime game that they saw, that the Bucs
right.
are done.
Right.
Which is exactly what we did when the Bucs barely beat the Giants. We're like, the Bucs are Super Bowl contenders.
Right.
We overreacted that way. Now we're overreacting the other way, saying that the Bucs stink out loud.
Right.
It's going to be a get-right game for him.
And then also Christian McCaffrey's hurt again. So that just, every time he plays, he gets hurt. That just kind of is what it is. But he gets like 30 rushes when he does play. They just use him, and then he gets hurt.
Pay him.
He already got paid.
Yeah.
But pay him again. Broncos Raiders. This game's gonna be weird. Something weird's gonna happen in this fucking game.
I think this is another Drew Lock Moxie game. I think
fourth quarter.
I think fourth quarter
not show up in the first.
Yeah. No, the Broncos are gonna go down by 17 points and they're gonna tie the game up in the middle of the fourth, and then probably Vegas is gonna kick a field goal to win.
Okay.
We get to see the cool stadium again, though.
This is going to be a weird
My
game.
My own flame.
This is going to be a weird game, I think. There's going to be something fucked up that happens. And everyone's like, whoa. And we go, well, no, we won't have Siciliano. Thank God. You really made my day. You made my day, Jake.
Looking out for you guys. I still love Andrew Siciliano, but I know.
You love
you guys, too.
Love him.
So.
Love him.
As a broadcast.
If you had to pick Siciliano or Hanson, you have to pick, or else I kill your parents.
I don't have enough relationship with Hanson yet.
Oh, okay. So he picks Siciliano.
All right, you picked wrong. Your parents are dead.
Sorry. You chose poorly.
Sorry, you chose poorly. Chargers, Miami.
It's good, though. What Siciliano does is good for the game, because Big Cat has to have somebody to blame.
A foil.
If his bets are losing.
A foil.
And so you'd much rather. There's actually like a very easy to document flowchart of who gets the blame when Big Cat's bets are losing. Siciliano's one, and then Hank if Siciliano's not on.
Well, Hank just laughs in my face
whenever I'm losing.
So he should
you
be
just
one.
Need a scapegoat.
Hank's favorite thing to do is watch me lose. Literally wakes up in the morning and he's like, I hope Big Cat loses today. Chargers at Miami. This is a weird game number two. Chargers are 2-6. Miami's 5-3, and they're only 2.5-point favorites. That makes no sense. That makes no sense. And Miami is 15-5 against the spread in their last 20 games. So it makes no sense.
I want to take the Chargers based solely off the fact that they're going to lose this game by exactly 1 point, and I know that.
Yeah.
So they're 2.5-point underdogs. That every Chargers game, until proven otherwise, should have them losing by exactly 1 point.
Yeah, you'd be an idiot to take the money line for the Chargers.
Yes.
But
yes.
I just, this game makes no sense to me. I don't understand why they're only 2.5-point favorite.
The fact that you just said that, I just heard a clip of us from the future being played back in our faces saying you'd be an idiot to take the Chargers money line after the Chargers win.
Yeah.
I think I have to take the Chargers money line just because you said that.
You have to.
Why did you do that?
Just get ready for the broadcast to say Herbert Tua, Herbert Tua, Herbert Tua.
Yeah. Over and over.
Yeah. Who would you take? Who would you take?
Who would you take? All right. Bills, Cardinals.
For the record, Herbert. Just want to say it. Herbert.
I have yet to decide. I'd like to see Tua. Tua has one win. Bills at Cardinals. The Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge on TV.
Yeah.
Are the Teddy Bridgewater, Brett Favre game.
Yep, yep. So big versus small, small versus big. Kyler Murray, do you know he's eighth in rushing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going
it's
nuts.
Crazy. It's crazy. I don't know what to say about this game other than I think the over's going to hit in like the third quarter.
Yeah.
Points, points, points.
Although, am I crazy to think that the Bills' defense isn't as bad as we've seen?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, I'm crazy then.
Their rushing defense is bad.
Call me crazy. Also, I don't think that Cliff Kingsbury is an offensive genius.
No, I think he's a dummy.
He's a dum-dum.
I think he's a fucking airhead. He's a bimbo. He's a mimbo.
He's a mimbo.
Yeah, he's all looks.
I think he's a pothead.
No substance. He's the guy, you date Cliff Kingsbury for a few weeks, and then about a month in, you'd be like, we got nothing in common except sex.
Yeah.
That's Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. You okay? gave me a face. That looked like a not a positive face.
Well, you weren't saying positive things.
Okay.
Cliff Kingsbury
is... Well, no, the sex was great.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury is great.
It was incredible sex.
He knows where the clit is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a clit hunter.
Yeah, he's a clit hunter. He knows where it is, but sometimes he... Okay, Cliff Kingsbury is, like, really good at fucking, but he's also a guy who's not afraid to be like, yo, can I just get some dome?
Yeah.
I'm just more in the
mood. Let me get a dome piece.
I'm just more in the mood for some brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you feel what I'm saying, honey?
Yeah. Like, taps you on the taps his girlfriend on the top of the head and be like, you know.
Yeah, Kingsbury's a guy
I had a long day.
Someone's going to marry Cliff Kingsbury in like 10 years into their relationship. They'll be driving home from dinner and he'll ask for Roadhead.
Yeah. Be like, you know, it'd be so sexy. Give me a little dome piece on the way home from fucking P.F. Chang's.
It's so hot.
Yeah. I swear I won't fart. Seahawks-Rams, this game's going to be good.
Oh, I farted.
This game is going to be good. I love the Rams in this game.
I disagree. I disagree. The turf is fast.
Yes.
DK Metcalf on that turf.
Jalen Ramsey also fast.
Setting records. Land speed records.
I just don't... I'm officially like... I tried to call my shot last week, being like the Seahawks defense is going to start turning around. And the fact that Russell Wilson hasn't been perfect in a couple of the last games and their defense hasn't turned around, I'm nervous about the Seahawks.
I'm taking the under on this.
Oh.
Taking the under on it.
With that defense?
With that defense.
In this economy?
In this economy, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I'm zigging while y'all are zagging. It feels like a game where Aaron Donald is going to be living in the backfield.
That's not good for the... that's good for the under, yeah.
It's good. It's very good for the under. And I think that the Seahawks, they can't possibly be as bad as they
have been. That's what I said
last week. No, but they literally cannot be as bad because they're setting records for most incompetent pass defense.
What if they set new records?
In the history of the NFL.
I know. That's what I said last week. I was like, hey, they can't. This is impossible. You can't be this bad. Well, guess what? They can be that bad, and they were that bad.
All they have to do is be like the Herbert Hoover of defenses, not the Andrew, what's his name, Johnson of defenses. Like, they just have to not find new ways to set records in futility. And I'm betting on Seattle to be able to do that.
If you combine the Seahawks and the Bears, would they go 16-0?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
That just gets me excited.
You can do that about probably 9 teams, though.
Yeah, but that one, that
you do it with 9
officially,
teams.
Like, that's a really bad defense and
you know
a
what?
Really bad
if
offense.
If you combined the Washington R-Words defense, excuse me, the football team's defense, and the Chiefs' offense, I think they go 16-0.
I don't think so.
I think they go
16-0. I think they still would have.
No, that defense is good enough. Chiefs' offense.
Maybe.
The all-Native American 16-0, nickname team.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you 16-0. We should just do 16-0 teams, the hybrid teams.
Yeah, the Chiefs.
The Frankenstein teams.
I think the Chiefs and the Dolphins would go, as a combination,
no,
would go 16-0.
No.
You can do the Chiefs and... Every team in
Chiefs
the league.
Chiefs defense is average.
Besides the
it's
Seahawks
not that
defense.
Bad. It's not that bad. Are the Chiefs on a bye? Yeah, they're on a bye. Okay. 49ers Saints. I don't know. 49ers, like, who's playing still? Jimmy G not.
Jimmy G's not, so it's going to be
maybe,
Nick Mullins?
Yeah, Nick. Maybe they're getting a couple people back,
is Greg Kittle back from his 2-week, 8-month injury?
This is one of those. The 49ers are at a point now where you could make the argument every single week, well, they're getting some guys back, but that's just ignoring the point that they've lost everyone.
Well,
every week they're going to get someone back.
So the 49ers are going to get guys back that they got after they lost guys.
Right. It's basically like a great free agent signing.
Yeah.
When they get their guys back.
So I think I'm going to go to New Orleans with this one.
I do like
it. Feels,
I
it feels
feel like the
like,
Niners plus 9 or 9.5, though. Like, doesn't it feel like there's a chance that they could stick around a little bit, just the Saints coming off a huge win?
No, because with Sean Payton, I'll have to look up the numbers on this, but there's always like a time in the season when Sean Payton flips the switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think the switch got flipped.
Okay.
I think that the
officially.
Saints, the Saints are going to go on a run, big run.
Okay. Bengals Steelers, Big Ben should be able to play. I just can't get enough of him. He's really having an unbelievable return. He should be comeback player of the year just for comedy's sake.
Well, he should. Yeah, he's kind of nominated himself in several different categories for comeback player of the year.
He hurt both his knees. He had Rappaport tweet that out, being like, Big Ben hurt both of his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when
COVID went through the locker room and everyone was talking about that, he's like, oh, wait, I have that too. Because I thought the knees were going to carry the day.
No, I think it wasn't even the locker room. It was just like he saw a spike in the infection. He went on worldometers.com and was like, wait, the infection rate went up. I'm in the United States. Tickles. Yeah, my throat tickles. So
Statistically speaking.
Like, yeah, it's like when, what's her name? Like Glenn Close or somebody like that is in four movies each year and she's nominated for two different roles. Ben is going to be nominated for Comeback Player of the Year for his arm, for each knee, and then for his lungs for COVID.
All right, last up, Ravens-Patriots. Hank, the Patriots defense is atrocious. How do you feel about this game?
Survive and advance.
Survive and
advance.
There
we go.
Will they be surviving and advancing?
I think it's going to be close with the Patriots squeaking out a win, Cam Newton getting revenge for what happened against the Bills, or Lamar Jackson's going to have like six touchdowns and run like a, for 200 yards.
Back that up.
It's going to be one or the other. It's going
to
be
Cam Newton getting revenge for what happened to the Bills.
He fumbled. He should have had a game-winning touchdown against the Bills in the fourth quarter.
That will be fumbled 2 weeks ago.
But he is going to get a chance to have a game-winning fourth quarter drive against the Ravens and come through this time. That is what I mean by revenge.
Okay,
got it. What about the Jets? Was that a revenge game?
The Jets battled. Yeah, that was a hard fought victory.
So is the revenge used up?
No, this is a different. This is a bigger game.
A little bit concerning that, and we're going to talk to Rich Eisen in a minute. But on his show, Lamar Jackson said that some of the defenses are calling out their plays beforehand.
Yep,
that doesn't feel good.
Also, to me, this is like the quintessential Bill Belichick game because he always brings out the weird shit. Mm-hmm. When they're playing against the Ravens, he loves to emasculate John Harbaugh.
Yeah,
if they get blown out, I'll concede the season.
He loves to do shit like
they get blown out, concede the season.
Yeah,
all right, clip that.
Okay, Hank, what if the competition committee meets again next week and they're like there are now 10 teams in the playoffs from each conference?
I don't think that's happening. By the way,
no, it's just in case there's canceled games.
But how many canceled games have to happen?
I don't know. Who knows? No one knows.
I'm pretty sure that Steve Belichick called everybody and was like,
"I still can't believe I added fucking four
make it
new
eight teams.
Teams.
Make it 8 teams in
I
the
think
playoffs.
They're Five only doing the extended playoffs if a team can't play a full 16 game schedule.
Got it.
If one team,
I believe so, but I'm not positive.
Wait, but what if if the Bears cancel the game?
I think if it's an incomplete schedule, they might add teams.
That's what they got to do. But
if they play all 256,
they got to cancel themselves to get that AC.
It's only a contingency.
That's smart. Okay. All right, that's the weekend preview. Oh, I might can't
lose
parlay.
They're going to pull Morgan Spurlock. Isn't he the guy that canceled himself preemptively?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, here's the can't lose parlay. You ready, Hank? Browns?
Yep.
You like it?
I love it.
Hank?
Hank's a doubter.
Hates it already.
Because Baker's
a friend. He always hates it already. Packers -6.5, move the line.
Easy.
They're going to kill the Jaguars.
Easy.
Saints -2.5, move the line.
Easy.
And then Bills Cardinals over 48.5. You move the line on the Barstool Sportsbook app. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-GAMBLER. You can move the line on that. 48.5. So it's those four plus 275. That's without being boosted. I'm sure they're going to boost it to like plus 325.
Dude, Texans money line.
You think the Texans are going to beat the Browns? You're such a jerk. You never just like. You know what? Next week you get to do the.
All right. Sorry. Spotlight. No, you get to
decide it.
All right. I'm sorry. Positive vibes. Billy's right. I've been doing some reflecting.
Hank. Yeah, you're a negative person.
Maybe I'm too negative. I'm going to take the can't lose parlay. I talked to Billy about his parlay system for 45 minutes earlier. I'm riding all of his. Picks.
I walked over and by our seats, we all sit in the same area, and Billy was in hushed tones explaining. They were poring over an Excel spreadsheet as Billy explained his parlay system. And I'm just happy that you're here, because I knew you were going to get here eventually. As soon as you said, wait, you can parlay these things? I was like, he's going to come up with a system. He's going to break Vegas. So tell us the system.
No. I'm not breaking Vegas. Basically, what I've done is I figured out how to make sure that you don't lose all your money, and it sort of just shows every outcome that a five-game, you know, two outcomes, two to the fifth, there's 32 possible outcomes.
Wait,
just
okay,
analyze.
You already fucked me up,
no,
there, Billy.
I'm so lost.
No,
it
how?
Took a Billy, long time.
No, basically.
Back, just repeat that sentence, but in English.
It. Let me see it.
If there's five football games.
Yeah.
Right.
With two possible outcomes, we're not counting ties.
Okay.
Okay.
Then, of those five games, there are 32 possible combinations of wins and losses.
Got it.
Right.
Okay, I'm with you.
So,
what about ties?
No.
Ties are like pushes, right? Like they don't count.
It's
ties.
Like kissing your sister.
Are you betting line or money line?
Money line. Everything's money.
Yeah, that would push.
Okay. So then you take all those outcomes And basically, I've calculated a percentage of if I, you know, bet the parlay
responsibly,
do the money lines, just singularly, single bets, mm-hmm. then how much percent of the time I make money if I sprinkle in a couple like supplementary
how much
three
you?
Team parlays.
Wait, you have to add some parlays to this?
Yeah, I got a couple supplementary parlays.
What are the names of the parlays?
I start with the can't win parlay, which I've been doing, is not expected to win by any means, but there's a huge payout. But I'm taking advantage of the statistical margin of error.
Billy, just tell us that there's
money
more
lines,
value, that you found a way to get value out of
it. I found
bets.
A way so, for right, you to definitely not lose all your money.
Here's Billy.
It seems like you'd lose most of your money.
Go through the parlays.
Yes, but you're going to lose a lot of your money anyway.
Wait,
Billy, say the names of the parlays and what they are.
Okay.
This should make sense.
Well, the Titans didn't happen yet, but the can't win parlay is all the closest money line. So Titans plus 100, Seahawks plus 104, Bills plus 108, Chargers plus 114, Bears plus 138.
Okay. Next parlay.
So that pays out big. And then, you know, you do the could happen parlay, which is the opposite side, which is Colts, Rams, Cardinals, which are all favored.
Okay.
And then you do... could also happen parlay, which is the Titans, Seahawks, and Bills, which are the three most likely.
Can I humbly suggest that you come up with a different name?
There's two other ones.
To differentiate the could happen and could also happen parlay.
But then there's the just in case parlay.
Okay. Parlay two.
Cardinals, Miami, Vikings.
Okay.
And then there's the statistical analysis parlay, which is I took the mode of all the results and saw that the biggest mode where you lose money involved the Colts, the Chargers, and the Bears winning. By the way, you're not putting that much. This is kind of like diversifying.
But then what the fuck are you rooting for?
Well, you can root for the original can't win parlay because that's where you get the best case scenario payout.
All right, so
but if it doesn't hit, there's other places you can make money.
This sounds like
a surefire
way
opposite.
To never lose all your money, but to always lose most of
which
the money.
Which is, look, I don't have that much money to gamble. I can't afford to lose money, all my money every week. So if I can responsibly not lose all my money and shift if the data is right skewed, which means, like, so basically, with all the spread I've put,
the average
outcome
right
is I get $9.
25% chance he wins money. Right?
No, actually, I got it up to 31.25% that I break even.
He crunched the numbers.
Did a whole financial.
He found an extra 6%.
I basically did
the margins.
A statistical build out of everything that could happen.
Wait.
And the most you can lose is $86 if you gamble $100.
Do you use a mouse?
Most you can guess.
Do you use
no,
a mouse
I don't.
On
I use
Excel?
My shift and tab key.
Okay.
I don't need to use a mouse.
You don't go
I sneak good at Excel.
You don't go arrow sign a million times?
No, I can just... Anyway.
All right, I trust you now.
Anyway, I'm going to blog this and have a video explaining how it works. It's not going to win you money, but it's going to help you budget your bets because I only allocate myself a certain amount of money to bet and you don't lose all your money.
Win you money.
Somebody who runs a spreadsheet without using a mouse is incredible to me. It's like watching Mozart play the piano.
Billy, you're a beautiful mind.
Look, smarter than I look.
What do we call your software system? We need to turn it into a software system. Like, make an app.
No, it's
Billy's app.
Mm-hmm.
ASP.bet.
Anyway.
I love the...
Check out. It's going to be on my Twitter by tomorrow.
Could also happen parlay.
Billy Hot Takes on Twitter.
Edward Broden.
I'll post it. You'll figure it out. The real people will look at it and be like, oh, shit.
It's pretty good, right?
He knows what he's talking
about.
It's
crazy.
Yeah. All right. Let's do Fantasy Fuckboys, and we'll get to Rich Eisen. And we also have Mr. Portnoy, a complaint from him. But let's do Fantasy Fuckboys first.
What's up, boys?
What up, what up, what up?
Yo, yo.
It's Fabiano Luigi Caruana.
What the
FCL.
Fuck?
My stardom this week is Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah.
Get them up, get them up.
Go downstairs, dust off the old box, pull them out, put them up.
Sounds like you're talking about fucking.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
My sit-em is eating indoors past 10 p.m.
Ooh.
You want to eat some lasagna and prosciutto at 9:50?
Oh, fucking Cuomo!
You can. You want to eat at 10:15? Get the fuck out of here!
Get out of here!
That's the witching hour.
Cuomo's Mussolini! Yeah.
And my sleeper is Graham Gano.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Giants can't score touchdowns.
Oh, so you're actually saying sleeper.
Sleeper.
Sleeper. He's going to kick a couple field goals.
Put him on your team as the kicker.
His name means I win cracker.
It's guaranteed.
Yeah. What's up, dickheads? This is Tontonio Spumissimo. I'm starting chess this weekend. So I play chess. That's old school. Where I'm from, we play chess. We pursuit. We drink nice red wines. It's the classiest game ever. Been watching Queen's Gambit. Queens, most beautiful county in the whole wild United States. You got Flushing, you got fucking Astoria, Greek town. I love that shit. Queen's Gambit, play some chess.
Too many I play chess, not checkers.
Too many simps in Queen's Gambit.
Too many simps?
Too many. Yeah, what episode are you on?
It's, I finished the entire fucking thing.
Yeah, the simps.
That dickhead,
bro.
That checkmate literally translates to simping. Simp, 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 simp.
Simp.
Absolutely. If the only pawn stars I care about are Chumlee and his dad,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting shorts. That's right. I'd hereby declare short season officially over.
Oh, wow.
If you got legs out, you better be Andy Reid or Adam Sandler. Over to exceptions in shorts game right now. We had a great run shorts. I'll see you in February. My sleeper is Bill Belichick. That's right. It's Ravens week. That's when our Dark Lord dives deep into his bag of not cheating unless he gets caught to pull out shit like offset tackles, punter eligible shit, other forms of David Blaine adjacent play calling. Belichick is going to be on fire this weekend.
All right, what's up, guys? It's Philaducci.
What's up, Philly Ducci?
My stardom is Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey, as soon as he left the Houston Rockets, that whole thing is blown up like the Challenger too soon.
Houston, we have a problem, am I right?
Too R.I.P. soon. My sit-em is Tony La Russa. Just don't sit him behind the wheel of a car because that guy's addicted to fucking driving drunk.
Don't sit him on a bar stool.
My sleeper is PS3. Can't buy PSX, PS5. Which one is it?
PS5.
Can't buy them. When you fall asleep, they smoke and they burn. Like
that's
those
the Xbox.
That's Xbox. Sick. Like the copiers from Dunder Mifflin. Don't buy it, but do buy it because I love the game.
Hey, PS3's on the sleeper, though. If you need a, you know, if you need a system.
Yeah.
But you get one of them.
Get
yeah,
one
for really cheap.
I got one in the trunk of my car.
I want a new one. Fell off the back of the truck.
That's why I'm a NZXT guy.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down.
How you doing?
Easy culture.
What's up?
How you doing? It's Rio Ferrara. My stardom is jumping rope. If you have stubborn calves that aren't going to grow with heavy weight, they need repetitive, quick strain. Jumping rope will grow your calves.
What is this, fifth grade gym
is
class?
Is this an ad?
No.
Are you doing an ad?
No. I'm trying to pump up the books. People who can't wear shorts so they can wear shorts. Anyway, my sit-em is vaping, especially in the pandemic. It's basically injecting clouds of venom into your lungs. My sleeper is the Billy Budget betting
triple
spreadsheet.
B, the triple B spreadsheet.
The triple B spreadsheet. It's only
maybe
for big
this will hit, Paul.
It's gonna hit.
Hell yeah.
Let's all get rich.
I love the parlay system. You've changed the game.
I'll legit show you how it works. I told you.
I think I understand exactly
yeah, I got
what it.
It
is.
I got it.
I'm riding every parlay. I'm doing can't lose and well does the can't
no,
lose?
You gotta, win?
No, no. There's basically
no, the can't
five
lose.
Different parlays.
I'm writing all five of Billy's and
you don't do units. You distribute them everywhere, and then you also put some money line singular bets, and then you don't lose all your
I
money.
I can't wait
till
Billy tweets this out, and then some really smart mathematician is like, yeah, if this result happens, you lose everything.
That's what I was trying to get to the bottom of that.
No,
it's
you
not
can't.
Possible.
Yeah. It's not possible to lose everything.
It's like
I'm sure we'll find
there's
a way.
Six blackjack hands, and then the dealer's showing a six and somehow pulls a 21 and just takes every
no,
chip on
the I understand what he's saying. It's not possible to lose everything, but it's also virtually impossible to win a lot.
Yes.
No. We shifted. It's right skewed data.
We shifted the right skewed data.
Right
skewed
data.
Are you talking about the polls, Nate Silver?
No. The mean is above the median.
Okay. All right. Let's get to our interviews. We got Rich Eisen coming up.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, here he is, Rich Eisen. Okay, we now welcome on our friend, recurring guest, friend of the program. It is Rich Eisen. You can find him every single day, Rich Eisen Show. It's on the cock. He also has his show, Epics, or sorry, The Grind on Epics, and also NFL yes. Game Day Morning on NFL Network. So, Rich, good to have you on. Congrats on all the news with the cock. Huge news. How's everything
going?
Why
don't you call Epics the Picks then? Why don't you do that? I don't understand.
We could if you want.
Yeah, the Picks, sure.
You want us to call it
that? What do you like better, the Picks or the cock? Cock Picks.
You know what? You know what? I think you guys are shortening a little too much.
Mm-hmm. What's the stream
not
like?
Not to come in and tell you how to
out
do
of the
it.
Cock.
Mm-hmm.
Is it good for streaming?
It's fantastic for streaming.
Is it?
It really is.
Is it like? Certainly is. Is it serendipitous that you're Dick Eisen and you're on the cock?
You know what? I'm putting together this whole through line right now, and if you know the stream is mm-hmm. One big flow from what you're giving me right now.
Yep.
You know, so I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay.
And it's all great. It's really all great.
But congratulations right on the gig on the cock.
No, and you have everyone should check out the Rich Eisen show seriously on the Peacock.
Thank you.
Every single day. You have a great show. We actually were just talking about your show because we were doing a Week 10 preview, and yes. Your interview with Lamar Jackson the other day was very interesting. Yep. Mm-hmm. The revelation that maybe Greg Roman's system has been figured out. Did you? When something like that happens, when you have an interview, do you know in the moment that's like, ooh, this one's going to be good? Like, people are going to start talking about this.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things where I ask the questions that I think, you know, people want to know the answer to, or at least I'm curious to know the answer to, and just asking them why are things not working as well, or why are things not easy? The last answer I'm expecting is him saying that the defense is calling out the plays. And it's just one of those where I make sure that I heard it correctly and ask the proper follow-up question.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, that's it. I mean, and so I heard that and, you know, I asked the follow-up, like, so you're saying the defense is calling the plays out and, you know, it's the last thing I want to do is, you know, leave a guest in a position where, you know, his coaches might say what gives, but I mean, that's the answer he gave and you know, I guess everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
Did you get the sense after that interview or even during it that he came into that interview like, I've got something, like a message that I need to send?
No, I don't think that he came in with any agenda. I just think he's a sweet kid who is just answering questions and didn't, you know, think that this was something particularly out of the ordinary to mention. Just being honest that these are things that are happening and that they're dealing with and addressing. I don't think he was coming in to try and throw his offensive coordinator under the bus or make a statement. He didn't know I was going to ask the question that I, you know, to me that I thought was, you know, the number one question is why are things looking so difficult? Why are things less easy for him right now? That's the one thing,
yeah,
you know, that I wanted to know going in.
I mean, you obviously do so much NFL stuff. You watch the games. You have the game, the pregame show on Sunday. What's the biggest surprise you've had so far in the NFL season? If team, player, like what's the thing you haven't seen coming and it's happening, and maybe throw in a disappointment too?
Okay. You want a surprise and a disappointment?
Yes.
All right. I guess the surprise would have to be the way the Cowboys have totally collapsed. Obviously, we didn't see the Dak injury coming, but I honestly thought that Dalton would acquit himself better than the first two games that we saw, and how terrible the rest of the NFC East is. That is a surprise to me. I didn't see it being a total complete dumpster fire. A disappointment, I would think, is Atlanta. I mean, that was just terrible. I mean, the 0-5 start, I didn't see at all coming. That has been a total disappointment. I really thought that the NFC South would be a three-team race. I'm disappointed for 49ers fans with all the injuries that have happened. I'm disappointed for the way that their follow-up campaign went through no fault of theirs. So I guess you could throw them in the same category as the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as like the best teams in the NFL right now, it's pretty much the Chiefs and then everyone else, which is kind of crazy to say because, you know, the Steelers are obviously undefeated. Do you think that the Steelers' weaknesses are more glaring than any of the Chiefs' weaknesses, even though they do have that game in hand?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Chiefs are the defending champs, and they have, to me, the MVP of the season. That was my prediction going in. And, you know, just so you understand, I'm not just saying that.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
Not
Mahomes?
Just to say, yeah, it was Mahomes.
Nostradamus, okay.
Well, I also said that the Ravens were going to win the AFC, and that doesn't look that good. So I'm not just sitting here to try and point out that I was right about something beforehand, and I might end up being wrong because of what Russ does from here on out, or Aaron Rodgers might not lose a game. But the Chiefs don't have much of a weakness, certainly if they're playing defense at the way that they are. And Le'Veon Bell has really not even arrived yet, and doesn't appear to be in the mix in the way that I think he might be by the end of the season. So I would choose them.
Let's do the least relatable content possible and talk about your schedule in the fall. Are you tired yet? Are you at the point of the NFL season where you're tired? Because I've been tired for a couple weeks. So what does your Sunday look like?
Well, first things first, is it new fatherhood for you?
A little bit, but it's also just, you know, we're here late on Sunday nights, you know, watching every game. There's a point in the season where it just, you know, I'm not complaining. It's just you get a little tired. I could sleep for if I could go to sleep right now, if you gave me enough NyQuil, I could sleep for like 30 hours.
I could nap right now too. There's no doubt about it. So working with Dion has not provided you the energy necessary to get you through the day, because that's the way I got through the first several years at NFL Network.
No, yeah, he's great. Honestly. He's great. Pick me up on Sunday nights. You know, like in between, we tape our segment with him in between when the afternoon games end and the Sunday night football game starts. So it really kicks us into overdrive and keeps us awake.
Yeah.
Is he the greatest or what?
The best.
He is the absolute greatest.
The best.
He is.
Yeah.
Right.
He's got energy and hilarious and gets it. And like, you know, especially when you're dealing with Dion's in particular, you can say he's the greatest of all time at his position. Like you can definitively say that. So to have a guy who is the greatest of all time at his position and still be able to joke with us and have fun with us, I think that's pretty rare.
Well, Dion is the funniest guy I've been around, and easily also the most popular. And I've walked through airports with Chris Berman, but nothing compares. Nobody compares to Dion. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows who Dion is, and he's one of the funniest guys I have ever met. From just what he'll just say off the top of his head. We were coming home from Green Bay on a Thursday night game, and the flight was delayed, so we hung out in the hotel/casino, which, you know, I guess you're not supposed to do as an NFL employee back in the day, but this was so early. We were just passing the time, and we played blackjack, and I was sitting at the end and did so well because I made the right decisions on where to hit and what not to. He called me Terry Pendleton, his favorite third baseman of all time.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is like, and it just reminds you of, he could have been the MVP of a World Series on top of being one of the greatest football players of all time.
Yeah,
the guy had the Braves beaten the Blue Jays in that World Series, he would have been the MVP of that World Series.
So
no doubt about that.
Tell us some more stories about Chris Berman walking through airports.
Yeah, we want
that,
to know those.
That piqued my interest.
Fuck
so
Dion. Who cares about Dion?
Did Chris, would he seems like a guy that would find the bar that was closest to his gate. Maybe get to the gate an hour early so that he could sit down, have a cocktail.
Yes. I mean, Chris is one of the most famous people I've ever been around. That's all people want to do is shake his hand and take pictures with him and sit around. But unfortunately, there's not a great story. Like, we didn't go to an airport bar. We would just be sitting there waiting for the flight to arrive to take us wherever the hell we were going. I don't have a great Chris Berman airport story.
Would he be giving people nicknames as they walk by? That would be great.
He did not do that. No, but I will tell you. I will tell you my favorite Chris Berman story, if that's what you're interested.
Please, yes.
I had just started at ESPN, and this thing you'll also appreciate because it's I work blue in this story, and I think that's what you guys look for, right? I mean, for me to work blue when I'm here on the stool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just starting at SportsCenter, literally 26 years old, month one, month two of my career in 1996. And ESPN had all of these banners that you would see that would be hung out at sporting events to let you know ESPN's covering it. Anyway, people would hang these banners in the hallway to have on-air people sign them and auction them off for charity. And I would be seeing everybody sign these things, but I'd only been there for a couple of weeks. And I just didn't know when it would be right or appropriate for me to sign these things. So Berman's doing a Baseball Tonight, which is on the air before my Sports Center that I'm doing on a Sunday night. And I just go into him and I'll just say, okay, Chris, you've been here. You're the king of ESPN. How long do I have to wait until I sign these banners? And he goes, how long you been here? You've done a show? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, fuck it, sign them all. And that was the end of that. I just went and I grabbed a Sharpie and I signed every last one of them because he was Berman. He gave me the go ahead. He gave me the green light.
If Chris Berman tells you you can do something, you can do it. I would say
that's what I figured.
Definitely ESPN. Yeah, yeah. So your show on Epix, when you do the game rewatches, so yes. You get the mic'd up. Do you get to see some of the mic'd up that doesn't get out there to the public? Do you get to see the uncut stuff?
No, I don't. What are you looking for, though?
I don't know. Some juice. Like, give us some juice. Do you? Oh, here's one. I don't know if this was your show, but did you see when Todd Gurley scored that touchdown? Do you think he did that on purpose?
No, I thought he screwed it up. It looked like to me that he thought that he was fighting for the first down. He got through two tacklers, and then I think at the last minute realized he did something wrong.
But
why?
Isn't that what you'd say if you wanted to cover up the fact that you had a big time escalating clause in your contract on touchdowns that you scored?
Yes.
I see. You're looking to see if he was actually trying to make some extra cash off. Yeah. Did it cost you guys a certain
American
dollars of your own?
In the moment, yes. But then the Lions went down and scored, so I was no longer mad at Todd Gurley. But I had the theory that very night that he did it on purpose, and then we found out I think a day later that he got $500,000 if he got a certain amount of touchdowns. That's an easy touchdown to get. Might as well just
especially
jump in there.
Especially since Matt Ryan specifically told him,
exactly.
Do not
score. Well,
and then he immediately went and scored.
So if you think he didn't do it on purpose, then you are implying that Todd Gurley's just dumb and can't listen.
No, I'm implying that Gurley was attempting to, as a professional, get the first down and then realize where he was. You could see his body language try and hold himself out of the end zone at just the last moment.
Oh, yeah. The guy
you
who's got
so?
He's got perfect body control. These are the best athletes in the world, and he accidentally just stumbles into the end zone. I got it.
What about the fact that there was some selective editing done on the behind-the-scenes stuff where they played a clip from Matt Ryan in the huddle two plays before the play where Todd Gurley went in the end zone, making Todd Gurley look like he was just instructed to not do that? I thought whoever cut that together did Todd Gurley wrong. And this comes from somebody who's not exactly a fan of Todd Gurley, who has reneged on several promises to purchase a cat.
Fact.
What?
Yes.
Well, we can get to that later. But they did do him dirty with the cut-up that they did where they showed the huddle play. But I guess they were trying to tell a story. Did you feel a bit responsible for recirculating that sort of fake news and selective editing?
I do not feel any responsibility for that. I cannot be. I'm just a messenger. I just host a show that has a bunch of NFL films highlights. I think that was also inside the NFL. So you need to take that up with HBO, or I guess in the way that you might call it, the bow. You know what I mean? So take it up with them. That was inside the NFL.
It was home
or
box office.
Or the time. Uh-huh. Sorry. It's on Showtime now.
Okay.
So take it up with the time.
I was gonna say the box.
You host three different shows. What would you say the most diva thing that Rich Eisen does?
Wow.
Good question, right?
The most diva thing that I do.
Right. Like if there was gonna be an Ellen DeGeneres kind of smear campaign against Rich Eisen, what would the people that work for you say?
Oh my gosh. I think it might be getting my hair cut before show.
Wait, what?
You what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. This requires some form of maintenance.
Okay. So the diva part is you force everyone who works for you to be like, yeah, Rich, you need a haircut. Bald guy?
No.
Okay.
It's me because I don't have a lot of time in the day to figure out when I can get my hair cut, and the person who does cut my hair, she's the best at it.
How often? Are you getting it?
My hair, what would you guess? How often do you think my hair
needs
to be?
Once every 4 years?
Never.
Yeah. Holy shit.
You just put put your head in the ball shining machine at a bowling alley.
No. What's going on here?
Yeah.
Requires a significant amount of maintenance. It cannot be buzzed, because if it gets buzzed, it grows back weird.
Mm.
Truly, mm-hmm. What I do have grows all the time, to the point where I need to get my hair cut every 10 days.
So
sometimes it's before the show when there are some people who are highly trained professionals who need to know my thoughts on a couple things, since the show is about my thoughts for 3 straight live hours.
Yep.
I think they would prefer it if I was sitting in the chair and being some form of, I guess, communicative in a way. And instead, I'm in the back getting my hair cut. That may be the most diva thing I do.
Okay, so you answered the question. The most diva thing you do is that everyone who works for Rich Eisen in any capacity is not allowed to laugh when he says, I need a haircut.
No, they're allowed to do what they wish. Big Cat, it's not like they have to tiptoe around me. I know you're mm-hmm. trying to create some sort of Ellen, as you said, scandal.
No,
they understand what goes on up here, and how I need to have the lid tightened in a way, because if not, it just grows in very difficult spots.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it requires a lot of maintenance, even though I don't have a lot of it.
Okay, mm-hmm. So, but if it grows back in weird forms, don't you just buzz it again? You just use the number one on the Manscaped? Right.
No. I don't buzz it. It's not buzzed. It must be scissor cut.
Oh my Every God. Individual hair must
How
be scissor cut.
How small are the scissors? They're scissors for their
They're regular size scissors, Dan. Are regular size.
Because I'm picturing like a mouse with a tiny pair of scissors running all over your head.
It's the mouse from Ratatouille. Comes in and he just
running all over your head in circles.
No. You guys are off.
Okay. A compliment.
If you want to be accurate, the scissors and the comb are regular size.
Okay.
It's just not a lot, but what is there does take, it is time consuming. How long do you think it takes to cut my hair?
30 seconds.
Well, no. This is a detailed question, because the question is, how long does it take to cut your hair? But the real question is, how long does the barber have to pretend to be cutting your hair before they can be like, hey, Rich, you're done?
No, I'm sitting there. So I trust me, I don't want to be there for quite some time, because frequently it has to be done before the show. For geographic reasons, where I'm located on the show, where she's coming from, and what else she's got to do, what I've got to do. Literally, this is when the time it must occur. So I really want to be up and out of there. That said, how long do you think it takes literally to cut my hair?
Well, like I said, I think the barber's probably, I think she's probably just going.
Stop. Excuse me. Let me stop you right there.
Around your head. Yeah.
Let me stop you right there. Stylist.
Sorry.
Now go.
The most diva thing. It's a stylist. Yes. 20 stylist. Minutes. 20 minutes. How long?
That is correct.
It is.
20 to 25 minutes. Yes.
Okay. So that's almost a normal person's haircut.
And is it? When you say normal person,
right?
What do you mean?
I mean that when I go in to get my haircut, actual hair comes off my head.
What is the most diva thing either one of you guys do?
Ooh, probably have to ask Hank that, because you'll get an incorrect answer from him. We can't judge ourselves accurately on that. Hank, why don't you go off on
this? Go ahead.
And I don't know. I mean, there's someone that gets coffee, and sometimes I see them get coffee for Big Cat like 4 times in a day.
Yeah, no,
I don't think you ever drink them.
No, I'm drinking it right now.
Get a coffee, and then like an hour later, like he'll bring another coffee. Yes. I'm like, I don't think Big Cat drank the first coffee.
I've graduated from going out and getting my own coffee. Now, I will say, which that very well could be, that would probably be considered diva. I do order it on the app, and I always make sure whoever's getting it gets their own as well. So it's like a... You fly, I buy. But yes, I would definitely be. I get like 3 or 4 coffees a day, so that's fair. Totally fair.
My PFT eats ice cream sandwiches like five times a week, which I don't know if that's diva, but it's just kind of.
I think that's the exact opposite. That's cool as shit. That's keeping, right. I mean, that's keeping me
that
young.
Diva? Yeah.
I would say, self-admittedly, probably the most diva thing I do, we have a Chinese restaurant that we like to order from, and they don't. Okay. It's the only Chinese restaurant in America that doesn't have General Tso's chicken on the menu. And so sometimes I'll try to order a second batch of Chinese so I can have my General Tso's chicken while everybody else gets to enjoy their sweet and sour chicken or their short ribs, things like that. I just like to have a nice bowl of General Tso's chicken, white rice.
Have you ever Googled General Tso to see who the general is and what battle he won, or have you ever looked that up? Why is the chicken named after this particular general?
Was
have
he problematic?
Uh-oh.
Are I don't
canceling
know.
General Tso?
I have not looked up, and no, I don't know what I don't know
don't
what he
do
did.
This to us.
I don't care if he was accused of war crimes.
Yes.
Don't do this to us.
I'm going to separate the art from the artist on that one and say I just really enjoy the chicken.
Okay,
that's fair, right?
Good for you. That is fair. That is fair.
How much
that
do you? Fair. How much you miss Game of Thrones?
You know what? Why were you always on my case about Game of Thrones?
No,
it was weird.
I don't know.
No, we weren't.
Do you miss it? Do you miss it?
I binge watched it, so yeah, I do. Although it was so bad the last season, though. No, not really.
Yeah, I don't miss it.
Oh.
I don't miss it. The last season was not my favorite, so I don't miss that.
It was bad enough to make you just to cut the cord completely and be like, I don't want any more of this.
Yes, I have cut the Game of Thrones cord completely. But if they do make a remake of it, I'll be into it.
If they redo the last season, they should actually consider doing that. Just pretend this one never happened.
Season.
Like the Hulk. There was like a shitty Hulk that was going to come out. And they're like, we're going to just do this entirely new actors. I would do that. I would watch the last season again.
Yeah.
Man.
Wait, let's go back to your Sunday schedule. I'm actually curious about this.
Yes.
What time do you get into the studio on Sundays?
Well, due to the COVID, normally prior to pre-pandemic, I would get in around 4:30 in the morning. But now it's just about 20 minutes before air. Whew. You come sit, you come all dressed, ready to go. You're made up by yourself. You know, just get out there and do it. So it's kind of different this time around.
Do you feel mad?
The first two weeks we didn't do it in person. We were all at home, and it kind of sucked to do it that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we were able to fix that. So.
Do you feel bad making a stylist hover around you within your 6-foot bubble for 20 minutes every 10 days, knowing that there's a deadly contagion going around the world?
Well, you know what? It's interesting because we wear contact tracers. We have to wear one around us, in a lanyard, but we have to take it off during the show. And I put it in my pocket. And I told everybody when I got on the set that I had been waiting my entire 25-year career to wear something that tells everybody that they can't come near me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now an actual device that allows me to have this sort of highfalutin status over them. And I use that particular word over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, it's kind of something that I've been looking for quite some time. Unfortunately, it is a pandemic that's brought it about.
Yeah.
But now people have to stay away from me. They have to stay 6 feet away from me. And I don't come across anything other than just being concerned for their welfare. But I'm pleased that they can't come near me unless they ask to approach.
Yeah, it's going to be like in 10 years from now, you're still going to be wearing your contract tracing lanyard and just be like,
exactly.
Yeah, why don't you stay away? Yep.
You're just never going to get the vaccine and be like,
I don't think there's any, there's no statute of limitation on the contact tracer. This is something that I've been waiting for my entire career. And I did, in fact, walk on the set and let everyone know it. So,
yes,
that happened.
Wait, so how long do you watch the games in the studio afterwards?
No, we used, I'm not doing it. I go right home, and that's always an interesting situation. I've got a 12-year-old, a 9-year-old, and 7-year-old at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all into fantasy football. A couple of them are. So I watch at home right now, trying to maintain everything. But normally we would stick around. I would stick around at the studio and do that. But that's another COVID situation going on there.
Who chooses your outfits on the set of Thursday Night Football when it gets to be really cold outside? I'm talking like, frigid. You're wearing the big black trench coat usually. You always have very nice gloves on as well. I've always admired that part about your game. When it's cold outside, you're usually not wearing a hat, and you usually don't seem cold.
I don't want to nitpick with you, but I haven't been on Thursday Night Football for about 5 years.
Oh, that seems like it's nitpicking.
It seems like it's nitpicking.
I don't really want to, be too detail oriented.
Well,
but
Rich,
I, you know,
PFT had to put his dog down yesterday. If you want to be a dick about it.
Yeah, come on, man. That's fucked up, Rich.
God damn it, dude.
You had that one in your back pocket ready.
I didn't know if PFT was ready to start bringing that out, but I'll bring it out.
Sorry for trying to give you a compliment on your style, Rich.
No, and I appreciate that. I didn't mean to. No, I did, actually. What are you saying about how stylish I used to look on the set of Thursday Night
Football?
Okay,
it might not be Thursday Night Football, but whenever you're around a game, I assume that you still find yourself on a football field sometimes with cameras pointed at you, correct?
Right. So one year when I was in Chicago, I was totally unprepared for how cold it was going to be. I think it was Bears, Saints, and to date it, I think Kyle Orton was the quarterback Thursday night, and it was friggin' freezing. It was really cold, and I was not prepared for it. So Dion said, I will take you hat shopping. And we went to the water tower, I believe, and went and shopped. I wound up spending more money on a hat than I've ever spent on anything ever. And it was like a hat that, when I wore it on the air, it wasn't like a winter hat. It was a fedora.
Yes.
That I was asking Dion, like, look, I know you want to upgrade my style, but I don't know how functional this is for somebody who needs help with the heat on top of my head. I don't know how he said, don't worry, it will be functional. I went on the air, and the number of texts I got from friends asking me if I was, why did I go with the Inspector Gadget look, or
I remember that
Miller's Crossing, or it was bad news. It's the only time I've ever worn that hat. But you can ask Dion about all that.
Okay.
Dion, but I do still wear the Gucci shoes that he got me about 10 years ago. So I still wear those shoes. Yeah. When is he going to get you something?
I think if we can land another recruit for him. We've only landed one so far. We got his son. We got his son to commit.
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking about Arch Manning. I'm pretty sure if we get Arch Manning, then he might get us some Gucci, like a Gucci belt.
Arch Manning does. Yes, he does have that Jacksonville State connection, I think, for sure.
Big question. It's Sophie's Choice time. Gun to your head.
Okay.
Siciliano or Scott Hansen?
Wow.
Great question.
Wow. This is tough.
Gun to your head.
The answer's easy, but it's not tough.
Point a gun at a big head.
No, I'm
taking PFT's gun and shooting Siciliano.
Oh, my gosh. Who do I have to tell? I'll go Siciliano.
Okay.
Gross.
You're dead.
Oh, shit. Hang on. There we go.
What happened?
We accidentally unplugged.
System. If I move
at all. Is
that
Scott Hansen?
No,
if I move it all over here, we have cords everywhere.
That was God trying to censor you because he knows that was wrong.
That's a terrible choice. That's a terrible choice by you.
Why is that?
Hansen is far superior.
Why would you say that?
Because he is.
Hansen's terrific at his job.
I have two eyes, two ears, and a brain.
I like Siciliano. Big Cat has a grudge against him because he fucked up one of the calls on Big Cat's bet.
Many. He doesn't respect gambling. He will go to a game and be like, here's a big play, and then the play will come back. Or like, and he knows. He's almost playing tricks on us. He doesn't understand the emotional, how high the emotions are during a witching hour. Scott Hansen does? Oh, yeah. Scott Hansen is respectful. He is. He's respectful.
He's an animal. He's outstanding at what he does. I mean, I feel like I'm going to see Siciliano first, so I just figured I'd take him.
He's got that Italian connection, too.
You
don't want to take any chances.
Tell him I said, go fuck yourself, Siciliano.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Let me write that down. Hold on a second. I got a pen right here. Down. Yeah. Okay, sure.
I got a real question for you. So I saw you had a great...
So what have these questions been? What have these questions
been? They've been all fake. So we actually haven't even started the interview. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
That's odd.
All right. You had a great tribute to Alex Trebek. And it seemed like you were a big fan of Jeopardy, and it's going to be very hard. I don't know how they're going to like go on, with Jeopardy because he was so perfect for the job. But have you thought about maybe you own enough sweaters? You own enough sweaters.
is that the metric you measure?
Okay,
about
I'll tell you the two
worthy.
The
of
two
it?
Metrics are, and I was never a huge Jeopardy fan, but I did love Alex Trebek. The metrics are sweaters. And someone that I know will take the job that I can just openly hate so that I don't have to worry about being like, oh, they might be on par with Alex Trebek. So you check both those boxes.
So I check both the boxes to be the next host of Jeopardy.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
In my estimation.
All right. Are you in touch with the people who run Jeopardy?
I'm not.
In any way, shape, or form.
We could get it going. We could get the rumor going. It's you or Dan Patrick. That's what I heard.
I was going to say Keith Olbermann.
Keith Olbermann's
bring
also
back
up
the
there.
Mustache. He seems like he's right. pretty level-headed uh-huh.
well,
these days.
Part of me feels like I was put on the planet to give away cash and prizes. And I do game shows. I can't get enough of. I love them. I love every last game show. I can't get enough of them. My kids watch the Game Show Network, and we watch Jeopardy all the time in the house. So
can you give us?
So when I did hear his passing, you know, it was like 20 minutes left in the show. And I appreciate, you know, the producers at Game Day Morning. I get in their ear. I'm like, we got to say something. So I just jotted a few notes down and threw something out there.
Yeah.
Can you give a sound check real Thanks. Quick of you? Just say the word genre.
Say the word what?
Genre. G-E-N-R-E.
Genre?
Yeah. Say it. Try it again.
Genre.
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 Did I pass that audition?
It should be a little bit more French-Canadian.
What is genre?
Genre. That's
genre.
Alex was the king of that. The king of that, and also when people would miss sports-related questions, the look of condescending, he would like condescendingly glance at them, but also kind of like joke around and make it okay that they're being nerds. I don't think that we can find anybody that can strike that exact balance.
It's very difficult when somebody does not get who is Tom Landry based on this. This Dallas Cowboys coach was known for wearing a fedora. You know, like that is difficult to not frown down on somebody who mm-hmm. does not get that.
Yes.
I was a contestant on Sports Jeopardy. Speaking of Dan, he was the host, and I went up against Kim Jones and LeVar Arrington, and I crushed them. I squashed. Ooh. I just absolutely killed it. And the thing was, it was, you know, when to time actually buzzing in, because if you're too early, they do lock you out. I did not know that about Jeopardy. So, you know, just something for you guys to take with you from this conversation.
All right. So we'll get the rumor mill going that, you know,
okay.
Rich is, someone who's in maybe the talks. We've heard it discussed on podcasts, like Pardon My Take, which we just did. We're newsmakers. So, yeah, let's get it going.
Well, I mean, you're influencers.
Yeah.
That there is no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, would this test the depth of your influence if, Pardon My Take, does in fact influence the decision-making process whenever that might take place?
I think it actually...
In Jeopardy.
It might hurt you because they had a category not too long ago that I'm pretty sure was sports podcasts. And we weren't one of the questions.
Yeah.
So I think that it would actually hurt you getting the endorsement from us.
Again, I don't mean a nitpick. It's one of the answers, PFT. It's
he's ready for it.
That was a test,
yeah.
Rich. Rich, my dog just fucking died, all right? Yeah, how many times are you going to do this to me?
God damn it. God damn it.
By the way, it's a funny bit. I don't mean to laugh, but because it's awful, and I'm so sorry.
Right.
About
yeah.
it.
Thank really you. Am. I appreciate that.
All right. That was it. I have no more questions. Do you have any questions for us?
Okay.
Anything we missed?
Geez. Yeah. What happened to you getting back to me about coming on my show? What happened to that one? You're like, you know, I'm in a pandemic. I got this. I got that. I'll let you know. Am I on a pay no mind bar stool list?
No, your show
have
is.
Have I been blacklisted in any way, shape, or form?
I think I told you, but your show is on during. I'm on radio.
Right.
So.
That's still the case every day?
Yeah, every day.
Every possible day.
I do radio every single day, but I'll do it. I think we.
I mean, we should do a home and home again.
Yeah, we absolutely
think?
Should.
I mean,
three
of us.
Yes. I think
you know, it's funny. I don't know what happens. You know, I monitor our show YouTube feed on a daily basis for various reasons.
You're a narcissist, on occasion, mostly.
Well, no, I'm a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
these videos that we have in our library, I have no idea why they pop. Like out of the blue, tens of thousands of views will just come out of nowhere. And sometimes it is based on what's going on in the sports world. Like when Tua started, videos of Tua that we had at the Super Bowl started popping, and we see that out of the blue. I don't know if you guys talked about it or not, but it might have been a subject of conversation on your show. Out of the blue is when you guys were here, I guess a couple summers ago, And you, Big Cat, told the story about being followed and unfollowed by Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
And yes. I don't, that about 2 months ago just exploded in the number of people that watched it. I have no, did anything happen?
Yeah, Anna
with
Kendrick.
You and Anna Kendrick again, or
no,
or what?
We actually went to a dinner that she was at. That was cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
she sat very far away from me.
So there's nothing to report on that front at all.
No, I wish there was.
Huh?
Is there a couple months ago?
I'll DM her right now.
Yeah.
And just be like, "What's up?"
Yeah,
heard we're popping.
You know what we should do?
We're going Vi on Rich Eisen's
Big
YouTube.
Cat, get her to unfollow you again. That way, we can make more content out of yes. her unfollowing.
I was about to say, so she is following you now.
Correct. She is following me now. Yes, she's back to following me. Zac
okay.
Efron hooked us up. Yeah.
Okay, and so that's cool. I don't mean to get in.
No, we're good. Yeah, no, we're good. But I'll get to the bottom of that. I'll get to the bottom of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when PFT is the one that follows you, the one that you're most excited about.
Probably Jeb person? Bush. Mm-hmm. Jeb Bush has got to be
low T.
Big, yeah, big time interaction guy.
Yeah.
Smashes. He doesn't smash the heart. He smashes the respect button mm-hmm. on my posts.
How about that? Okay, yeah. I did not. Jeb Bush follows you?
Jeb Bush and Pete Buttigieg. So two guys that will never be president follow me.
You play both sides of the aisle, man.
Yeah.
You play both sides of the aisle. You play it right down the middle.
You're
like Purple America. You're like a personified of Purple America.
Oh, and Mia Khalifa. Yeah, you know, you're familiar with her work,
yes,
I'm sure.
You are.
I am definitely drawing a blank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, you are.
He's
now.
Winking. Rich Eisen's winking.
You're shooting
right now.
Blanks.
The final question is brought to you by Cross Country Mortgage, America's crazy good mortgage company. Go to ccmlens.com/take to learn more about your future home buying experience or refinancing needs. Equal housing opportunity. Rich, so that's it. Did you have anything else? Did you have maybe like?
No, I don't. This is great.
Your you know, the prodigal son goes back to a campus and is going to change the history of
you know
a college
I've
football
been,
team
I've
that
been
has been overrated
for
50 years, even because you beat the fucking YMCA of Detroit back in 1904, and you think that those wins matter? Anything
this
like
is
that?
Your parting shot, huh?
Anything
this
like that?
This is your parting. This is the parting shot.
Anything
you waited
like
till the last second, like literally out the door, and the Jewish goodbye is Jim Harbaugh. I got it.
I saw you talk about
I got it.
I saw you talk after the Indiana game, and I actually, you're just defeated. You're a defeated human being. You're no longer, like, it's not even fun anymore because the Michigan smarm and, like, we matter and Michigan's important.
We do matter.
It's wiped off
matter.
Of you. It's No,
we,
but you don't even
do
believe
matter.
It. You don't believe
we
it.
We do matter. We do matter. What time is the game on Saturday night?
It's 7:30.
Yeah, yeah. How many Wisconsin games play at 7:30 at night usually?
They play a ton of them.
On ABC.
How many times
really?
Has Michigan ever been to Indianapolis?
When?
All the time.
Look, you have every – look, you are – look. You are right. Michigan has not performed in that way at all that we had hoped with Harbaugh. But the relevance is absolutely still
there.
That's
even sadder. That's even sadder to be terrible and be like, but we're relevant.
Your claim to fame is that you are making Big Cat's team, which is good.
Yeah, which has been good for 20 years.
Get a bigger platform because they get to kick your ass when more people are watching TV.
We actually win football games, go to Big Ten championships. Like, those things happen.
Right. We don't I just don't beat my chest over any I have nothing to beat my chest over right now. And the fact that you beat your chest over at least we go to Indianapolis to lose
no,
and
whoa,
wind
whoa,
up in the Rose Bowl.
Hold on,
I mean,
we've won three
so
hold on,
we
won
that.
Three Big Ten championships. You've never even sniffed Indianapolis. You waved to it as you're going to Bloomington. And PFT knows I do not beat my chest as a Wisconsin Badger.
He knows his place.
I am very
well.
Much secure with my place. The problem is
so then
Michigan
is,
fans think that they are on the level of Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, USC, LSU, but you're not. You're not. Okay.
I do not sit here and say that my school is on par with Alabama. We're not competing for national championships right now. We certainly hope that we would with Jim.
In the back of your head though, in deep down in places you don't want to talk about, you think like, hey, we're a blue blood like these guys.
We are a blue blood. The number of people that keep wanting to watch us and even though we have everything.
Clay Travis over here talking about TV ratings.
You're Clay explaining.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'd rather talk about championships. I'd rather. I'd rather talk about championships. Oh. I'd rather talk about beating Wisconsin and beating Ohio State and beating Michigan State. I'd rather do that. Of course I would.
Okay, here's what
I'm not lying on that front.
Rich, here's how you fight Big Cat on this. You just say, at least Michigan has handled the coronavirus pandemic admirably and contained it and done all the right things to keep our faculty safe, our alumni safe, and all the people associated with the program safe, whereas Wisconsin has put people in danger.
True.
You got to go anti-Clay on that aspect, mm-hmm. pro-Clay on the ratings aspect, combine them together, and then I think that you'll really have a convincing argument.
Yes, I forgot to use a once-in-a-century pandemic to my benefit.
Yep.
I totally whiffed on that opportunity.
You blew
my
it.
My bad.
Do you think Jim Harbaugh, like, he was one of the guys who really wanted to play this year. Do you think he had watched a practice before he really wanted to play?
Oh, my God.
And we love Jim Harbaugh. We actually genuinely do love Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, we do. We played in his golf tournament two years ago.
Of course.
I want him to do well. Yeah. I don't want him to do well at Michigan anymore because it's funny. I want him to go to the NFL and win a Super Bowl, honestly.
Yeah, by the way, you just went higher register. We always say around these parts right here on this show that you have to go higher register to say something you don't really believe. Like, hey, no, I really want him to do well.
No,
like,
I'm going to use that, Rich.
No, really.
I do want him to win a Super Bowl. I don't want him. I think it's funny what's happening.
Now you brought it down to the serious register. Hey, I just really think it's great. Do you think he wants to practice first? I wonder. You know, like,
that's a real question. Do you think, because he was like, let's go play.
Practice. Yes,
he should have
came.
He should have been at the front lines of, we got to worry about their health.
Oh, my God.
Joe Milton's our quarterback.
I would love to. I don't know when you're posting this.
Friday, tomorrow.
Oh, really? Yeah. Just in time for the game. Great.
Yeah, 7:30. Thank you, Michigan, for putting us on prime
Rich,
time.
Did your Spidey senses your Spidey senses go up at all when you realized that you were scheduling this interview the day before Wisconsin-Michigan?
Let's see when Wisconsin's game against Iowa gets put on the air. Let's see when that one happens. Let's see when Wisconsin plays Ohio State. Oh, wait a minute. You don't play Ohio State.
This is so sad. You're talking about the time of a kickoff as the last thing you have for Michigan football.
You're bringing up whether Michigan is still relevant. That's what you're bringing up.
To laugh at.
Okay. That's what you are bringing up. You're bringing up the subject of relevance. So my response to that, I wish, was in terms of a win. I don't have that. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and say that we're awesome. We're going to come kick your ass. I wouldn't even say such a thing.
I'm actually I'm in a lose-lose on Saturday night. I fully realized it. For the first time in my life, Wisconsin-Michigan game, I'm going to lose-lose. Because if they lose, you and Dave are gonna you know, shit down my throat. And if they win, you're going to be like, well, we suck anyway.
Welcome to being a Michigan fan.
What?
I've had that same feeling playing Wisconsin for the last 30 years.
No.
You can't win even if you beat them.
What?
Welcome.
The last 30 years.
Welcome.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
The last 30 years has been a different
history.
Welcome
to being a Michigan fan. Everyone expects.
I take it back. Smarm is still there. You can't lose that. That's the Michigan man way.
That's it.
Yeah.
Welcome to being us. Welcome.
That game against the YMCA of Detroit in 1908, that was a barn burner.
They were good, though. Yeah. They were underrated
going
into
that game. They
taught
people how to play football, and then they beat the shit out of them and claimed a national title.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Rich. Thank you. This has been very fun.
We'll chat again soon.
Yes, we'll chat again soon.
Let's.
If Wisconsin somehow loses on Saturday night, I broke my phone.
I'll
I just want to let you know I broke my phone. I broke it, so.
What do you mean?
I dropped it on Sunday. So if Wisconsin loses, my phone's still broken. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Understood.
But everyone do check out Rich's show every day on the Cock. Streaming.
We're streaming. Yes.
Streaming NFL Network game day in the morning on Sundays. And also maybe the new host of Jeopardy. I don't know. We're going to get that out in the stream.
Put it out on the stream on the stool. I appreciate it.
Love it. Thanks, Rich.
Take it easy, guys.
Thank you, Rich. That interview with Rich Eisen was brought to you by our great friends over at... Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. And now, here's Mr. Portnoy.
All right, we now welcome on our lawyer. It is Mr. Portnoy. We have a very big emergency. He texted me this morning. He said he's got a complaint fresh out the oven, ready to go. Didn't want to forget it, so he had to call in and complain. I love this. We need this more often. When you have the complaints, we will take them right away instead of saving them up. So let's get into it. What's going on?
Okay. This was an all-timer. I have one of these HP printers that also you can send a fax, you can send it's a copier, and you can, as I said, you can send a fax, and you can also Zoom, okay? So it's got all these capabilities. And believe it or not, I know how to use it. I've had it for about this one. I've had, I want to say, at least 6-7 years, and I get a good amount of use out of it. And also for some strange reason, and I've had it so long, I don't ask questions. I have two networks. I have the network, which is a network just for the, for the regular internet type things. And, I also, for some reason, had a separate network for this printer. Okay. Make a long story short, we'll get right into it. All of a sudden yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the printer, as far as being a wireless printer, stopped working. So, foolish kid that I am and silly goose, I thought I would call HP tech support. Let me tell you something. Good I luck. Should know better at the age of 73. But the last time I needed to call tech support, I'm going to say it was 4 or 5 years ago. And I did get to speak to a human being. So I think at the time helped me. Can't do that with HP anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't have any people real. I don't think they're, a huge company. They probably got 5 human beings working there. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work. And then, of course, when I can't get through, I'm dialing tech support. Can't get to speak to anyone live. Voicemails, the whole 9 yards. So then, because I think I'm pretty savvy about how to complain, I stopped trying to call tech support, and I get the bright idea, you know what? I'm going to go into sales. Mm. And sure enough, I get there much quicker. Somebody actually answers the phone in sales, says, hello, sales. I don't know what they said. Next thing I know, and I explain the problem, and the fellow says to me, all right, I'm going to find out what's going on. Hang on. So 45 minutes later, he said, and he also said to me, don't you hang up talking to me. So I hang on for about 45 minutes. And when I'm on hold, there's none of this noise, none of this music business. It was just holding. So, of course, after 45 minutes, I say, he must have disconnected me. Mm-hmm. So I disconnect. And I think I'll try it again because I found how to get into this by calling sales. This time I get somebody else, a young lady, who I explained the situation to her. And she says, look, I'm going to take care of you. I'll get a hold of who we have to get a hold of. And I notice when I'm starting to talk to her, I hear what I think is a rooster going, this is the truth.
What?
A rooster going, And I, at first, I didn't want to say anything because I thought maybe I'd sound like a total fool. Finally, it kept going on. She puts me on hold and then it keeps coming back with, the music and everything. Finally, I said to her, do you have a rooster there? And she says, yes. And the rooster keeps going every time I talk to her. This is what? Hewlett-Packard. They have a rooster.
In the office.
Their phone. So then she says, okay, I'm going to connect you to someone else that will be able to take care of this. And the rooster's going crazy. And then she does. And I get back. She says, I've contacted somebody that can help you. It's tech support. Then the tech support is back to a recording. And in other words, back to where I started from, roughly an hour and 20 minutes, maybe an hour and a half later. Mm-hmm. And so finally I decided, look, I'm never going to get through to them. And I'm really, this thing, the thing that killed me about this is I know that there's nothing wrong with the equipment. It's just that somehow I thought I needed to get a password or something, but I know it's working, but I'm really seriously thinking I'm going to have to go buy a new unit mm-hmm. because I don't have the password that they're looking for. The last resort, I started pressing every button that was available to press yep. on this thing.
Yep.
And don't you think that fixed it?
Did it?
Yes.
There you go. Okay, problem solved.
I don't even know. In the end, if you ask me to repeat how I got this back working in, I have no idea.
You did it on your own. It's either that or just unplug it and plug it back in. Those are the two best ways to fix them. Now, I do.
I tried that early on in this process. That did no good.
I've got one complaint for your complaint, Mr. Portnoy, because I think we talked about this last time, about you having these like little backdoor hacks to get into customer service as a frequent flyer, someone who calls into many customer services lines. When you call in through the sales channel, that gets answered by a salesperson, and it negatively affects their commission and their paycheck when they pick up service calls because that's another call that they take where they don't close a sale on.
Well,
so you're taking money out of a hardworking HP employee's pocket.
You're kind of a communist.
That's capitalism.
I'm trying to get my freaking thing fixed. I'm not really at that point concerned that somebody's going to lose $5, and they didn't have to have a rooster there. That was the thing that really threw me off.
I'm standing up for the rights of the worker, so you're right. Yes, that does make me a communist.
The rooster did. That was unfair of them to throw a curveball like a live rooster on a call at you.
I mean, would you immediately say to someone in that situation, you have a rooster there? I'm so self-conscious. I didn't want to make a fool out of myself by saying, you have a rooster there. And she would have said, what are you, out of your mind?
Yeah. Hey, shut that
cock up. I thought it was something on my phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is how Jeffrey Toobin got fired.
What's that?
Nothing.
Don't worry about it. I have one more question for you.
Okay, I had one as well.
About the printer situation. What are you – you said that you're a power user of your printer. You use it all the time. What kind of stuff are you –
No, I use it a good amount.
What are you printing up? Coupons?
I'll print. Huh?
MapQuest? You going to MapQuest?
No. I'll first of all, I might be involved. I still have a tiny little practice of law. And occasionally I'll have a client and I want to, for instance, send them something to read or a rough draft or something and also the other thing, I have a, I have a very ineffectual Dell computer here, all right? I don't use it very much anymore. I use mostly the Apple products, okay? But this is a very slow computer. The only thing I use it for, if I type out something from scratch and I want to send it to my client into their wireless system, mm-hmm. I'll use this through the printer, okay? It's very complicated.
Type out something from scratch, like you're making like homemade, you know, like started with a blank document.
These are craft legal briefs, Big Cat. They're farm to table.
Yeah, I'll steal some legal briefs.
Right.
And use them as my own.
Got it.
I mean, you know.
Wait, so, and then you said, did you say on the fax machine and the printer, did you say you use it for faxing, printing, and Zoom?
No, I don't use it very much for faxing anymore because, as you may know, most people don't fax.
Right.
And what I didn't say I use it for Zoom. Yeah, I said that.
You did.
You said Zoom.
You
absolutely. Did I say that?
Yeah, I was wondering what that meant as well.
I was like, whoa, is he just talking into his printer?
No, I use it to send out. Now you got me all confused.
You listen to music.
I use it to contact roosters. No, I use it as a copier, just mm-hmm. as a regular old copier. I use it to take things and wirelessly send it to someone.
Okay.
All right. On a wireless network.
Right.
All right. And what that may be is if something I see on the internet that I want to send to somebody, that I'll take it from the internet and send it to them wirelessly.
That's a crime. That's a federal crime. You can't take things from the internet and put them out on paper.
I don't care about that.
Oh, badass.
What I'm sending is private stuff between people.
You're stealing from the internet.
Yeah, I'm stealing from the
internet. You seem like you would maybe get a joke email, like the 50th forward on a joke email, and then you print it out and fax it to someone.
I have it. No, that's not true.
Okay.
You're like the Fuck Jerry account for like the 70-year-old plus generation. You're Fuck Geriatric.
You're just taking off the internet and sending it around.
I don't do that very much. No. What I'm saying is, I'm doing this right now with a particular client of mine that we're involved in some kind of litigation. All right. Here's an example. I might type something out, a document. All right. I want him to see it, to see if it's okay with him if I send this out to someone involved in this case. All right. But I want him to preview it. So I might have that document that I prepared on my desktop, and I send it to him I'll print it out, and I will use, I'm drawing a blank here.
No, I got you.
It seems pretty
You're doing very important business. I got it.
Mover and shaker. So in conclusion, are we happy with HP's customer service? Like, was it a good ending experience since you figured out how to fix the things?
Listen, I prepared on my Twitter account this morning a thing that said about HP, the worst I put them in quotations, customer service, the worst in the human race.
Whoa.
And
the scare quotes.
I got so many people that said that I was absolutely right. They are the worst. Comparing negative, in some cases, saying, have you tried Comcast? Ooh. They're the worst. And of course, I can speak to that too, because they're pretty bad.
We need to create like a Mr. Portnoy's Yelp. Yeah. Like, we need to create your own personal Yelp of just bad customer services. So you can't, it's no good things. It's all bad.
We're doing positive vibes only, though. Can you tell us what company has the best customer service?
Listen, I don't honestly think there's anybody worse than HP, because you start from the proposition that it's impossible to get to speak to a human being.
Right.
I mean, what can be worse than that?
Well,
they give you all this.
In their defense, and I don't want to take their side, because I ultimately have your side here, but let me play devil's advocate.
I don't like the way you preface that.
Let me just say it. I got devil's advocate for a second. In their defense, like, four people still use printers and fax machines on the regular left on Earth. So why would
and
they
I'm
have?
Wonderful.
Yeah, right. So you're kind of, like, I think it will just be you and a customer service person. You'll be left, and you'll just be staring eye to eye as the world, like, ends.
You know something? That wouldn't bother me. I didn't even mind the rooster, to tell you the truth. I thought it was a little comic relief.
Yeah.
As soon as I realized that it wasn't coming from my end somehow, and she told me that she had a rooster, which really is kind of hard to understand, but I accept it, and
all right. Well, here's what we're going to do. People will listen to this. We need to find a dedicated customer service rep from HP that can reach out,
something.
Slide my into our DMs.
Listen, my experience with what you just said is this. I will get a lot of emails from people who say, I work for HP. I can help you. Words to that effect. It's always a scam. It's never legitimate. It's always somebody that wants to.
All right, wait. Okay, hold on. Only people who actually work for HP email Mr. Portnoy. There you go.
Yeah, you think that's sufficient?
Yeah, I just did it. I cleared it up.
See if they have a rooster. Then I'll know it's legit.
Prove your rooster.
I mean, that was the thing that really prompted me to get a hold of you about this, because that just stunned me.
It's fantastic. Yes.
That was, you got to understand, that whole situation occurred with the rooster after about an hour and 45 minutes of trying to resolve this. And here I am confronted with, and it's like, what kind of world is this?
That's beautiful. I mean,
you would expect in 1942, maybe you would have been dealing with a rooster and complain about something, but not now.
I just want to know if the rooster was in the office or if it was somebody who was working from home and they had like a backyard rooster.
I'll tell you, I think the rooster might have been in the office, but I'm guessing.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Portnoy, thank you. This has been fantastic. We need to do this whenever you have a complaint. Fresh out of the oven, you text me and we'll get you on because it's better right when you remember everything.
You're right.
It just happened.
Yesterday I was so consumed with all of these issues. And I want to tell you too that the lesson about this is where I have this printer is in a very difficult place for me to deal with it as far as pressing buttons and everything like that. I just don't have enough room here to get it in a convenient place for me to get to it. Okay. So you add that as a problem that I'm physically suffering while I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah.
I'm
going to get you a new printer.
No, I don't want a new printer.
All right. Well, the people who email you from HP will send you a new printer. You just got to send them your credit card, your social security number.
Yeah.
And you'll be set.
If you knew how I was yesterday when I knew that I was going to have to make this phone call, how I was dreading it, because I knew that it was not going to go well. I knew that, and it didn't.
It didn't. All right. Well, Mr. Portnoy, thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Hopefully, we see you soon. It's been too long.
Yeah. All right.
Come to the city.
Care. All right.
Stay safe.
See ya.
See you later.
That interview with Michael Portnoy, our lawyer, was brought to you by our good friends over at... Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right, let's wrap up the show. We got Firefest of the Week. So I think we'll forego our Firefest for the Firefest for all of us, actually. It's all of our Firefest, but it's obviously more PFTs.
It's been a tough couple days. It's been a tough, like, last week or so. Leroy, obviously, he passed away on Wednesday. His health went downhill pretty quickly the last 6 or 7 days. And it was rough dealing with it, but it's good that he's not suffering. He had a very, I don't want to say, like, comfortable, but it was good that he was able to be with us when he passed. And it's tough. I'm going to get emotional talking about it. There's like no possible way that I can talk about without feeling it. But he was a gift, man. He was a great dog, and he had a gift that he would brighten anyone's day that ever saw him. He was known like as a celebrity around the neighborhood, just from like store owners, just people that lived around. They knew Leroy before they met Leroy because someone would be like, oh, you got to meet this new dog that just moved in. And then they'd see him and be like, oh, that must be Leroy. Store owners would have like special cuts of lunch meat that they'd set aside and bags with his name on in case he happened to walk by so they could get to come outside and say hi to him. But he was honestly my best friend. I went through so much with him. My life really changed over the course of the last like 12 years. And he was there like as a constant for everything that happened. So obviously going to miss him, but I wanted to say thank you very, very much, not only to like you guys, obviously, for reaching out, but just like strangers in general, people that might not have ever met Leroy. I got a ton of really nice messages yesterday, and it honestly made me feel better knowing that he was able to brighten up people's days and that people cared about him, even if they didn't meet him. It really made me feel like a little bit of brightness in a day that was like probably... It was probably the toughest thing that I've ever had to do. And
dogs, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him a lot. But we got to have 12 and a half years together, which is awesome. I know some of you who might not have dogs are like, you know, big deal, it's a dog. It's not like a family member. It's not like it's a human who passed away. But like Leroy was, he was that close to me. And so it's going to be tough. Got a lot of great memories with him. And it was funny because... So my next door neighbors, a nice older couple, I think they're probably in their 50s or 60s. Their names are Tom and Ann. And I moved into this apartment about 6 months ago. And Tom and Ann have been great neighbors. They've helped take Leroy out if I haven't been home. They've been really super helpful, and they're great people. And they see, obviously, us walking around all the time. Yesterday, I got a text from them at like 3 o'clock sending their condolences for Leroy. And I was like, oh, I guess our downstairs doorman must have let him know that Leroy passed away. That's very nice that they're doing that. And then Ann followed it up with a text being like, we just saw this trending on Twitter, and so we figured that Leroy died. And I was like, what? Because they didn't know, they don't know anything about Barstool, what I do for a living. They didn't know that Leroy was known by people. They just checked
a newsbreaker. They didn't know about Leroy's side job
and handicapper. 7-1 against the spread on games that started before 8:30 on Mondays. But they just like checked Twitter, saw the trending topics, and they're like, oh my god, that's Leroy from right next door. And he's trending on Twitter because he passed away. And it honestly, like, it made me laugh, and it made me, like, happy in a day that was pretty upset. And the reason that, obviously, they saw that he was trending on Twitter is because so many of you reached out to say really nice things to me and wish, you know, your best about Leroy. And that meant a whole lot. Although it would have been very funny if I had if I had broken the news by tweeting out from Leroy's account, getting one last scoop wrong, just tweeting out "I am alive," and then having to correct, do a material change on it. But yeah, Leroy was a great dog, man. I'm gonna miss him so much, and I love him. And it's weird just walking around the apartment the last like 18 hours, 20 hours, and you go into a room and you just expect that he's gonna be there laying down because he's always been there, you know, for as pretty much ever since I got out of college, he was always around. And it's going to be tough, but we'll be okay. But thank you very much to anyone. I couldn't get back to all of you, obviously, but there were so many people that reached out to say really nice things, and that made me happy on a day where I was, you know, feeling as bad as I have in a really long time. So thank you.
A great dog, a king, and you just let us know when you want Billy to buy you a new dog.
Yeah,
because Billy, a couple months ago when Leroy was going through some health stuff, he texted me on the side and was like, hey, should we get PFT a puppy? And I was like, you don't just get someone else a puppy, dude. Mm-hmm. So, but when you're ready, he will just find you a puppy.
Maybe like breed a frog and a chicken together.
Yeah.
And you can give
Billy
that.
Is the island of Dr. Moreau. He's an animal. Billy's barn.
He's an animal dealer. He was so excited about the idea of being able to, you know, go find another animal. I was like, why don't we just cool down for a minute?
I'm not ready. I'm not ready to be hurt just yet, Billy. I gotta have some time to.
When you are, he'll get you one.
Thank you.
He'll find you a dog.
I do feel lucky though that I was able to have like a dog in my life that I cared so much about that I feel like this bad.
Yeah,
that he's gone. Like obviously it was always going to happen, but like. Leroy had a great life. I'd say like he was probably a top three Mastiff in terms of just like recognition in terms of, he's probably the top three famous Mastiff. It's probably like Hercules from The Sandlot.
He never turned it on Twitter, that's what I was about to say though.
That's a fact.
That's true.
It was just, that was just bizarre being like, my dead dog is trending on Twitter. That's really strange. But
not his first time either. Like the Gronk news.
Not his first time. But thank you guys for all your help and reaching out. And Billy, I will get another animal eventually. I don't think that time is right.
You just
right
tell
for
him
right
which
now.
One. Billy's like the dude with the trench coat. He opens it up and he's like, what kind of animal you want,
I'm
bro?
Sure he's got a salamander or two hanging off his inside pocket. What I really want to do, well, it sucks that the United States is about to get shut down again, basically, because I would like to take this opportunity, like not having Leroy as a responsibility to like get home to or worry about that whole thing, and just like go, just like travel somewhere, do something.
Yeah, dude, you're like 26 now.
I know, I'm like 26.
Yeah, you've gone backwards.
I got no responsibilities anymore, so maybe I can just like fly to Vegas for an afternoon. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But thank you guys. It meant a lot, and Leroy loved all you guys and anyone who ever came up to him and said hi on the street. Like he was a very happy, happy dog, and always very happy to meet all you strangers. So thank you anyone that gave him a boop. I gave him several boops on his way out for you guys. So. He's in a better place now.
All right, let's finish up. We got hit the numbers. Hit the number, Billy.
69.
8.
18.
Show me 8.
I'm never picking
the same number.
What's
Leroy's favorite number?
I don't even fucking care.
So, yeah, what's Leroy's favorite
number? Jesus, I don't know.
29.
85.
You liked eight.
My animal fact for the day is all dogs go to heaven.
There you go, Thank Billy.
Oh, my God.
52.
Oh, fuck. I saw the five.
I saw the... Yeah. I thought it was going to be Leroy's 29.
All dogs do go to heaven. Yeah. There you go, Billy. All right. We'll see everyone. Enjoy the sports weekend. We'll see everyone. Give your dog a little extra hug.
Please give him an extra treat.
Yeah, and we'll see everyone
this
on,
one's on Leroy.
Monday.
Love you guys. Maybe I'll get a Ouija board and do Leroy's pick on Monday.
There you go.
Duh!